where Stratford comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Joining us now is Matt Mandel. Matthew Mandel is serving his fifth two-year term on Westport's RTM, representing District 1. He chairs the RTM P&Z Committee, Planning and Zoning Committee, and serves on five others. He is a trustee at Earth Place, the Nature Discovery Center, since 2007. Very well known for grassroots advocacy. In this case, grassroots really means something because Matt Mandel is known for saving the 22-acre Partrick Wetlands in Westport, as well as 6 acres at the White Barn Theater. And in 2011, he created and organized the Slice of Saugatuck Festival, which is a wonderful day that typically occurs in September where everybody walks and tastes and eats and kibitzes around the railroad station. He is also the chair of the or the leader of the Westport Chamber of Commerce, and he very much believes in small town Connecticut. And he is joining us now because he asked to come on the show, Matt did, to talk specifically about a bill that he thinks will impact some of the things that he has been caring about for so many years. Matt Mandel, welcome to the show today and good morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Lisa. And that was quite the introduction. It's nice to hear what I've done. It's kind of you forget sometimes all the things that I appreciate you letting everybody know.
Sure.
So talking about this bill, it's called 5429. It's a bill dealing with transit-oriented development. And it is a bill that sort of is an overreach, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what it would do to small towns.
Tell us substantively what does the bill do, Matt? What does it do?
The bill would allow as of right development a half a mile from train stations in the amount of 15 units per acre. And if you know most of the small towns up and down, you know, the shoreline corridor, you might get as many as 4 units per acre in most of the areas, but you'd have 2, 1, and 2, which is basically single family zoning. And the idea is to remove this type of zoning and then institute 15 units per acre, which would completely over-densify these areas. And the issues then become, how do you have the infrastructure to deal with this? What will happen with taxes? What will happen with choice and the people who decided to live in a small town rather than a small city? And it just cascades beyond that. And so this is what's in front of the Planning and Development Committee, and they're going to be voting on this thing on Friday.
Okay. And so are you going to be taking a position on this? Will you be testifying on this?
Well, I've already testified. I sent in an email explaining the reasons why I thought it was a problem. Infrastructure is one. Whether or not TOD is still a reasonable concept. I mean, the post-COVID world, or actually we're still in the COVID world, the idea of where people work has completely decentralized. It's no longer everybody hopping on the train and going into the city or hopping on the train and going into Stanford. People are working at home. The utopian view that this TOD would work by putting in, you know, 1,000 more units into an area, let's say by Saugatuck or even Green's Farm Station, which is completely devoid of any commercial activity, to bring that type of density in there and to say, oh, everybody's going to be using the train, it's a fallacy. We have our own TOD stuff that we've built already in Westport, and we found that less than 12% of the people who were living there were actually using the train.
Is that right?
So what happens to the
That's an interesting statistic.
It's anecdotal. No one did a full study of it. But we asked around, it's like, are you using the train, not using the train? And we found that that was the case. People, you know, liked living in the area, but they weren't actually using the train. So even if it's, let's call it 20%, where are the other 80% of the people? They're working someplace else. So the idea that it would be a carless society, a walkable community, is a fallacy. Everybody's going to be getting in their car and going to work someplace else. And besides work, how are the kids going to get to school? What about their after-school activities? What about going and shopping? The commercial infrastructure doesn't exist in any of these places. It's elsewhere. And so everybody's going to be living in this area and then getting in their cars and driving someplace else. And as we know, traffic is already a disaster in most of our towns. The infrastructure was never built to handle that kind of density. And now what's going to happen? It could actually stifle the economic growth and the economic stability that's already occurring in our towns and why people are coming. So that's just one of the reasons. I mean, you have the physical act, the physical infrastructure isn't there to support it. The soft infrastructure doesn't exist because you'd have to need more police, more fire, more schools, more teachers. It goes on and on of all the things that would need to be addressed because of density suddenly being put in. And there wouldn't be any local control. Planning and zoning commissions no longer would be able to say this is good for our town and not, because they, under the bill, it would be 15 units per acre as of right, meaning a developer could come in, buy an acre and say, okay, I'm putting in 15 units right next to a single family home. So now you've got a 15 unit condo that could be four stories high right next to a single family home. And that kind of density would create problems.
We're chatting with Matt Mandel.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, we're chatting with Matt Mandel, who's active as the chair of the P&Z committee of the RTM in Westport and has been known for his advocacy in trying to preserve open space in town. But, you know, Matt, you also wear a hat for the Chamber of Commerce, so you're also somebody who cares about, obviously, the economic vitality. So tell me how you think this TOD bill fits into that.
Well, people would say if you have more people will be buying things. But if it's too difficult to get to where you're going, or if the housing is actually crowding out the commercial infrastructure that currently exists, then you've got a problem. Let's take Saugatuck, for example. It already gets congested with traffic twice a day. People going to work, people coming home from work. It's right near the train. It's by the train station. It's also by the exit for 95. If people can't get to where they want to shop, they won't be going there any longer. If it becomes too difficult to park, or if it becomes too difficult in any fashion, those businesses there will suffer. And anecdotally, I was just told about a possible business where someone's saying, hey, you know, I'd rather put housing where there currently is a business.
I see.
We will lose that business down in Saugatuck, and instead there'll be housing. And so you get this grind between the need for having infrastructure or commercial activity and it being displaced by housing. Now, they could say, oh, well, it'll show up. But you can't create infrastructure by fiat. It takes a long time. And in the meantime, while the densification is occurring, things will not be working properly.
Matt, we have a caller, Kelly from, let's take a caller, Kelly from Milford. You're on the air with Matt Mandel. He's talking about this TOD bill, this transit. What does TOD stand for, Matt?
Transit-oriented development.
Transit-oriented development. Kelly, go ahead, please. Good morning.
Yeah, I have a question. Where are all the environmentalists on this? I mean, I see just a huge problem with the sewer system. I mean, just to start off with, not to mention any in the 95 corridor, there's so many wetlands and just environmental issues to deal with. I just can't imagine it having a huge impact in terms of, you know, concrete being built where there's going to be more flooding issues. And I just see so many issues with overdevelopment and overbuilding that I just see is being pushed by builders and real estate developers.
That's
I'm so glad you brought that. You want me to get that, Lisa?
Yeah, because I do, Matt, because particularly because I know that you sit on the board of Earth Place, and that is
right.
The Nature Center. Go ahead.
Right. So this, I'm glad you brought this up, because that's one of the next issues I wanted to talk about. And it's a larger issue in terms of global warming. But let's deal with this specifically. What's going to occur with the greater density is in the larger lots, you do have a large amount of trees. You do have a large amount of ability to absorb rainwater and whatnot. And if you do make it impervious, that's going to create flooding issues. So there's one. You have the increased density. You're also going to have huge amounts of the drawdown of the aquifers. There is only so much water that we're going through, that we have under our state. And unless there's proper infiltration, it's going to dry up at some point. So by using this water and then putting it into the sewer systems, as you talk about, and then sending it out into the Sound, it doesn't infiltrate as much as it should be. So we're going to draw down the aquifer. We're also going to be throwing more wastewater into our areas, and that will hurt other aspects, the fish, the shellfish that we do. We have a huge shellfish population, and there's a lot of a commerce that comes from that, and that could be put in jeopardy as well. So those are just a few of the things. The runoff, you're talking about, I mean, they say that in the zones that they will deal with wetlands and lowlands and flooding areas, but they're going to be cementing over everything, and that's going to create a greater problem. But let's switch to the idea of global warming. I think everybody understands that we do have this now, and that sea rise is happening in the future. And the concept is that we're supposed to be gracefully removing ourselves from the coastline as the sea rise comes up.
That's true.
Most of our train stations in the state of Connecticut are along the shoreline. And Connecticut Deep, the Environmental and Energy Protection Organization from the state, has put out maps showing where sea rise will be occurring. And interesting enough, in my research, I found that the Saugatuck train station could well be inaccessible due to sea rise into the future. So what's the rub? The rub is that this bill, 5429, actually doubles down and says that we should be densifying in the very areas where theory is telling us if there's sea rise, we should be moving away from. So what's going to occur is they're going to have more and more people living in an area under the threat of sea rise, and it's wrong. And what's going to happen is the builders are going to come. They're going to build, they're going to take their profits, and going to leave, and it's going to leave the residents, the municipalities, and the state holding the bag, because we're going to have to remediate the situation to protect this ill-advised building. And if it gets worse enough, they're going to have to relocate these people. This could actually cost the state billions of dollars in the future because of the short-sighted idea that we should be densifying in an area where we shouldn't be building. I think that sums up pretty well in terms of environmental issues.
Thank you, Matt. So the bill you've said is the TOD bill 5429. Is that correct?
5429, yes. And it's coming before the Planning and Development Committee. It's been in front of them. Testimony was last week. They've been thinking about whether or not to bring it out, but the vote is going to be coming on this Friday. So people who have an issue should be sending in emails to PD testimony at this. I won't have it off the top of my head, but if you send it an email to the Planning and Development Committee saying, hey, this is a problem, you shouldn't be doing it, it puts it on the record and lets them know that there's a problem with this bill.
Is there anything else, as long as we have you on, and obviously you've become very knowledgeable on this, are there any other bills that you want to talk about today?
Well, there's also the fair share bill that sort of moves along. I mean, let's talk about it. Affordable housing is an important issue in our town, and I'm actually sitting on the state's development and future subcommittee for affordable housing. I was appointed to it. It's Representative Lamar and Tim Hollister are the chairs of it, and our goal for this committee is to come up with guidance for the towns and for the other municipalities on how to create affordable housing, how to engage the community to figure out how to get this done. And this comes from last year when there was a bill that was put forward to talk about ancillary dwelling units, to change parking standards, to address a thing called 830J, which says that each town must come forward and create an affordable housing plan. Now, these things are all moving forward, and the towns have embraced this. I know Westport this coming Wednesday night will be having its first meeting, public meeting, and talking about how can we create affordable housing. But at the same time this year, they're coming forward with this TOD bill, which says, okay, we're just going to densify this area. They're also coming forward with a thing called fair share, where they try to figure out what's the fair amount that each town should be creating affordable housing. But how can all this be occurring when the towns are taken under their wing what was done last year in the Public Act, saying that all the towns should start working for this? So you got fair share, which was toned down a bit, and now it's sort of being sent to the floor, possibly, to have the Secretary of Housing make the determination. Now, there are some people who think that that's a good idea, that that's a fair way to be doing this, and some people say, well, wait a second, here towns should be making the choice for themselves, and that's exactly what last year's Public Act did and why there's 830J and everything that people are doing now. So there you go with the other aspects. Let me bring up one other thing about the TOD. A lot of this is based on what other states have done in terms of transit-oriented development. And the Regional Planning Association put out a op-ed piece last week that said that this TOD bill is very similar to what was done in Massachusetts. But nothing could be further from the truth. What happens in Massachusetts says, yeah, we want to do a TOD, but you don't have to take the entire half-mile swath. Actually, it's a mile swath, a half mile from a train station. You only have to make a small area within it and try density and see if that works. If towns already have that, they can be exempt from the TOD. And there's actually an opt-out from the Massachusetts TOD for towns that choose not to want to do that. That's completely different to the one that's coming for the state here, the 5429, that mandates a half a mile from the train station. It's as of right 15 units per acre. So that the advocates coming out here and saying, well, we're just doing what Massachusetts is doing, it's completely false. And I think people need to understand that this advocacy is flawed advocacy.
Okay, thank you very much. And I think that the Regional Plan Association is also a registered lobbyist.
And there's a whole thing. There have been some articles and some testimony that was submitted that says that the RPA is basically controlled by builders. And the builders' concept is that TOD is their future. And in paperwork that they've had, it says that the way that they're going to continue to be able to do things, and sort of like a shark, if a shark doesn't keep moving forward, it passes away. So the same thing with the builders. And if they don't find a new place to build, they're not going to be able to have their profit, and they're not going to be able to survive. So the RPA is being pushed by their backing of the developers to create new TODs, even when they're not warranted in their areas and that the local communities don't want to have such density.
Matt Mandel, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your knowledge and your passion about this. The bill, again, is 5429. It seems to be coming up in the committee on Friday. And so you can do your own homework, and no matter how you feel about it, you can communicate with your own legislator. Thank you very much, Matt, for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for always giving me a sounding board and allowing me to speak my piece. One thing, Justitho from the Chamber of Commerce, we are having the Slice of Saugatuck again. It's our 10th year. You mentioned it earlier.
So great.
It's going to be a big celebration in September. And also we're having the Dog Festival. And I know, Lisa, you love dogs.
I do.
The Dog Festival is May 15th, Sunday, May 15th. Come on out. It's a great event for Westport.
Thank you so much, Matt Mandel. You do so much for the town. We'll be right back.